You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside. I am RJD, your host for A Shot of Madness. I am coming to you live, and we are just me and you. I want to talk directly to you, and I got a couple things to review on this show. Today, I'm going to ask who critics the critics. I want to touch base on some of my favorite films of the summer, which include Sully, War Dogs, and The Accountant, and why these movies were attacked by certain critics. I don't want to go over, do we have the right to critic? Do we have the right to cheer or boo what we want? I never thought of myself as a critic. I never want to be a critic. I just tell you what I like. And I tell you what I don't like. You know, I like popcorn in the movies. I liked Star Wars when it came out. I like The Empire Strikes Back. I like Raiders of the Lost Ark. I like Flash Gordon. Some of those films were great films, some of them maybe not so great. But there's an inherent need for criticism. There's an inherent need to go online and look at five reviews. Doesn't mean you should decide whether you should pay good, hard-earned money. You know, there's not a critic that I read that liked Suicide Squad, and I had a fun time watching that movie. Is it a great film? No, we've covered that in the past. But it's fun. I had fun. I didn't expect it to hang the moon, and it didn't. It entertained me for 2 hours, and that's really all you can ask for some of these films. But sometimes these films do a little bit more. Some of them, they make you think. Some of them, they inspire you. And I have to be honest, I was inspired by Sully. Sully is a good, solid B-minus film. If you're a huge Tom Hanks fan, maybe it's B. It's a by-the-numbers, everyman story, and it's based on a true story, so obviously he's an everyman because he's a real person. But Clint Eastwood's directive style I've never been in love with, but it hits all the points you expect it to hit. Aaron Eckhart's good. Obviously, Tom Hanks shows up, and he will be nominated for an Oscar because his name's Tom Hanks. That's just what he does. Solid film, and it tells a story. And the story that it told me is sometimes the heroes are just people that show up and do their job. The secondary story was really the only villain, and it was really grasping at the villain, was possibly the insurance company trying to cover the crash. But they were really never vilified as much as they could have. They could have sensationalized that part a little bit more, but they really didn't. It's a solid flick. It's just a decent film. It's the kind of film you can recommend to your parents. No sex, no violence, no bad words. Solid 2 hours. Tom Hanks playing Tom Hanks once again. No mullet this time. No angels and demons. Gray hair. Flying a plane. Going down. The special effects are fantastic. And it keeps you entertained for 2 hours. I imagine this is going to have a lot of run on cable network and Netflix, because it's kind of the movie that you can pause and then you can come back to it 2 hours later. Or you can come back to it 2 hours later. There's nothing offensive in this film at all, but yet critics found it offensive. And one of the most egregious critics found it offensive because Tom Hanks is white. Amy Nicholson of MTV, and she basically writes a hatchet review of Sully because he's an old white guy. The first thing that comes to mind is that it's a true story. So I'm not a big race guy. I don't care if they hire an Asian guy to play Robin, which is the new rumor running around. I like the character Glenn. I love the actor that plays Glenn from The Walking Dead. So he's fine as a Robin. God knows there's enough Robins. There should be at least one Asian Robin. I have no problem with any of the race switching. It doesn't really matter to me. What matters is hiring a good actor. What matters is telling a good story. You know, you can't make the Black Panther white. Can't make Luke Cage white. That's part of their character. That's part of the story. You don't want to, if you want to change the story, just write a different story. Don't use that story. A big hullabaloo about Iron Fist being Asian. Well, maybe you should read the comic, because the story is a white guy. And he learns about the Iron Fist. If you make him Asian, that really hurts the dynamic of the Heroes for Hire, because Luke Cage is a black man in Harlem. And Danny Rand is a white rich kid. That's the dynamic. That creates conflict. That creates friction between two people. And that creates drama. And that's interesting to watch. So there's no real reason to change the race of a character to change the story. Why would you change the race of a character in a biopic? We still make fun of John Wayne playing Genghis Khan to this day. Yeah, my name's Genghis Khan. You know, John Wayne, the quintessential American cowboy, which he wasn't. He played one in the movies. Terrible casting. Would this movie be any better or any worse if it was played by a great Asian actor? I don't think so. Would this movie be any better if it was played by Denzel Washington? Probably, but he was just in a movie where he was a pilot. Y'all know I'm a Denzel Washington fan. Denzel Washington never made a bad film. Maybe the closest to a bad film was Magnificent Seven. MTV's Amy Nicholson attacks this film probably the same way she attacks a hot dog. And it's just this dog. This film is like a puppy dog. There's just nothing to hate about it. And she attacks it. And the only real reason is because of Tom Hanks's gray hair and white skin. He's a heroic old white guy, and she hates it. If you read her review, she not only attacks Tom, but she attacks Clint for making movies about guys that are heroes. She even calls them lovable cranks, jocks, and soldiers. Now, I've already told you that I'm not a Eastwood super fan. In fact, I find his films that he directs a tad on the slow side for the most part. There's a couple action ones in there, but for the most part, they kind of take their own sweet time. And I kind of blame that on one of my favorite films that he made, and one of my favorite performances by Kevin Spacey, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, shot on location in Savannah, Georgia, one of the most beautiful cities in the Old South. Now, if you've ever been to Savannah, there is nothing prettier than walking down the streets and having a sweet tea and feeling that cool ocean breeze. And that film captured the beauty of Savannah. but it also captured the eeriness and the underbelly, and that there's always something kind of sinister around the corner, and you get that kind of feeling. I kind of call it like the Diet Coke of New Orleans. It's not New Orleans, but it's like the Diet Coke version of New Orleans. It's not full calorie New Orleans. There's a river walk. There's some seediness across the bridge. You know, there's a few cemeteries. There's a few shadows here and there. There's a few ghost stories. And he kind of captures that in his film. And there are no soldiers in that film. There are no jocks in that film. There's just a writer from New York City and a rich gay man who's trying to hide his homosexuality, who may or may not have committed a murder. So with Eastwood's filmography, we really start off on the wrong foot with Amy Nicholson's criticism. He doesn't just make movies about jocks. He doesn't just make movies about soldiers. The movie I thought was going to be his last film, obviously, was Gran Torino, but he followed that up with Love of the Game with Amy Adams, and she wasn't a soldier. She wasn't a jock. She wasn't even a white man. She was a white woman. Part of the problem here is if critics don't like a film, just say you don't like the film. It's a by-the-numbers drama that your parents will probably enjoy. Tom Hanks fans will enjoy it because they love Tom Hanks. Everything he does, they buy a ticket for. But it's a good film. Not a great film, not an exciting film, not an adventure film. But if you don't like it, just say you don't like it. Don't try to, despite the applause and skirmishes fought through straw villains and America's greatest sniper. You're still, she's writing a criticism of this film, and she's still salty over a film that was released 2 years ago. Can we move on? Because I didn't click to read a review of something Eastwood did 2 years ago. I wanted to read a review of Sully. I'm glad I saw the film before I read her review, because this would have just made me angry, and I would have been expecting something like hero worship, which is not what the film's about. And the film is kind of the opposite of that. And Sully pretty much says he's not a hero. And the only heroic moment in the film, other than the landing of the plane, is kind of him standing up and just trying to defend himself. And this lady writes for MTV. Where have thou gone, MTV? Listening to movie reviews and politics from an MTV website is trying to, like, fish in a sewer. When critics lose their way so bad? I still think there's value. I remember as a child waiting to see at the movies with Siskel and Ebert. And I liked movies they disliked. But there was always entertainment value there, and they would always make you think. And every once in a while, they'd say, hey, don't go see a film. You know, don't go see Firefox. For the kids that hadn't ever seen that, you could probably Hulu it or Crackle it or whatever. It's not on cable anymore. It's a terrible Eastwood film from years and years gone by. But critics lambasted it because it was maybe not that good of a film, not that enjoyable. But just tell us if you liked the movie. And then if you liked it, tell us why. And if you didn't like it, tell us why. One of the movies getting killed out right now is The Accountant. And it's like 51 on the dreaded Rotten Tomatoes. No, this is not a bash Rotten Tomatoes podcast. Rotten Tomatoes just collects all the critics and then, you know, gives you a quick shot of what they all think. So 51% like it. That means 49% of the critics don't like it. Does that mean they don't like Ben Affleck? The Account Flack is a pretty good movie. It's a smarter than average action movie. It's got a heck of a cast. It's got J.K. Simmons. It's got Shane from The Walking Dead, who's now the Punisher. It's got John Lithgow. It's John Lithgow, people. Go out and buy a ticket. He always delivers. I've liked John Lithgow since Buckaroo Banzai. You can't really talk about The Accountant without maybe spoiling something, because The Accountant throws about 5 threads against the wall, and if you're not paying attention or if you go to the restroom, you're going to miss when one of them gets tied up, because they don't make a big deal about tying them up. They just kind of happen, and you're probably going to guess one of the, at least one of the twist before the end of the film. But it's actually got 2 or 3 nice ones. And it's not like a, oh, that's so obvious, it irritates me. It's a, oh, that's obvious and it makes sense. And I kind of like the way this ended. It was number one at the box office. So, I mean, at the end of the day, what really matters? What critics say. What matters? What anybody says. If you like Affleck, go see the movie. If you like smart action movies, go see the movie. It's like he was Rain Man mixed with John Wick, who is an accountant. That's if that sounds like your cup of tea, go see it and you'll like it. And if you like Rain Man, if you like John Wick, if you like Ben Affleck and you don't like that movie, just send me a message. I'll refund your money. Another movie that was kind of on that Mendoza line between hit and miss was War Dogs. And this is another film that I thought was fun. I thought it was it original? No. Was it kind of like The Wolf of Wall Street meets Gods of War? Yeah, it had that feel to it. Have had that same story. It's got the same story beats. Is Miles Teller fun? Yes, he is. In every movie he's in except Fantastic Four. Jonah Hill has found the perfect job, and that's playing roles where he's the best friend that ends up betraying his other best friend. He is wonderful at playing a dick who acts like he's your buddy. And is it the best Todd Phillips movie? No. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it. I liked it. Right around 70%. At some point, we have to take responsibility for what we're going to see. And if Amy Nicholson, MTV critic, didn't want to see a movie about an old white guy being a hero flying a plane, maybe she shouldn't have bought a ticket to Sully. If you didn't want to see Ben Affleck, almost called him Account Flack again. If you didn't want to see the Account Flack being real quiet, having autism, doing some shit with numbers, and shooting people with guns and kicking all kinds of ass, then maybe don't buy a ticket for The Accountant. If it's your job to review movies, then maybe take a movie review class. You don't have to like these films. But if you're a critic, you ought to explain why you don't like them. You have to show me why I should listen to you as a critic. And beating up a movie the director did 2 or 3 years ago, or citing the man's acting work from 30 years ago, that doesn't quite cut it. It just doesn't quite cut it. Are these critics coming into a film with a preconceived notion? Are they coming with their own agenda? Do they know what they're going to write about before they see the film? And then they watch the film and then it just kind of goes off on its own direction so they can make their own statement, which has nothing really to do with criticism of a movie. You rest their souls, wherever they are, Siskel and Ebert, the greatest of all time. Of course, they didn't come up with the thumbs up and thumbs down, people. For those of you that don't watch history, you know, Roman emperors come up with a thumbs up and a thumbs down. There'll never be a greater ranking than that. Thumbs up, thumbs down. It doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any better. What else can you do besides thumbs up and thumbs down? You can clap. You can cheer. You can boo. Last thing that I want to cover in the news recently is that people booed Amy Schumer at one of her comedy shows. I'm not getting into the politics. She was talking about politics. She was talking about Trump. Well, you know, no one likes the candidates. You got half of America that hates one candidate. You got half of America that hates the other candidate. You want to bring that to a stand-up comedy show? Good luck. Because odds are 30 to 40% of the crowd, no matter which one you're making fun of, is going to boo you. But she didn't make fun of them. She didn't tell jokes. She just kind of said, oh, he's a monster. He's this, he's that, and you're stupid if you vote for him. Well, you know, maybe make a joke. Maybe make me laugh. I bought a ticket to laugh. I didn't buy a ticket for a political rally to make a joke about somebody that I like, and it's funny, I'll still laugh if I'm at a show. She's made a name for herself telling really, really tough jokes at roast. Well, tell a joke about this guy. Don't just say he's a monster. Tell a joke. She's in the news. Most important thing about this news article is that she wanted the bouncers to remove people that were booing. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with telling jokes, and if you don't get the reaction you're looking for, asking people to leave. I mean, hitting boos, doesn't that come with the territory? Being a stand-up comedian, one night you get booed, the same joke, two towns over, gets cheers. Isn't that the way it goes with a stand-up comedian? You know, I think that hits at a deeper-seated issue that we're looking at here. We're looking at a group of people that are so tunnel vision, they don't want to hear that anybody doesn't agree with everything they say. They don't want to hear anybody that won't laugh at the joke, the exact joke they tell. They don't want to see a hero if he's not their archetype of a hero. They're tired of seeing the same old, old, white-haired heroes. If you can't take the booze, get off the stage. In the immortal words of the heartbreak kid Shawn Michaels, fans buy their ticket and they can cheer and boo anybody they want. If you don't like getting booed, don't tell stand-up jokes. Stick to movies. If you don't want to see a movie with a heroic old white guy, don't go see a Tom Hanks movie. Go see a Denzel Washington movie. I'm RJD, and I hope you enjoyed a step on Welcome to the Midside.
This concludes your journey into the Midside. I'm Justin Emblesneski reminding you that if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Have a day.